There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind, open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Well, good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 18th of November, 2014. Little after 8 o'clock Central Standard Time here in the central part of the United States of America. We got a warning for you. We've got a homework assignment due tonight. I warned you last week you need a comfortable pair of shoes for walking and an uncomfortable pair of shoes and a chair and a little bit of room somewhere. So here's a heads up for you to get ready, because we'll be talking about that later in the show. Jim and I strive to really intimidate you, push you, make you think, challenge you, get you to really stand up and take notice and to do some due diligence, to do some work on your part, to understand that it's literally up to you as the individual on just how successful you are. You know, all the wonderful songs, all the great stories, whatever you hear, whatever you think about when you think about quote unquote religion and a relationship with Christ, whether it's heaven or hell or nothing at all, when you boil it down to gravy, it's all on your shoulders. And we're going to talk a little bit tonight about how, what are you doing with what you have? Usually by the time a person reaches a senior in high school, or maybe in their early 20s, but certainly by the time somebody is a grown adult, they've helped someone. Either they bailed them out of jail, or they lent them money for a dental appointment, or co-signed a loan, or helped them move a couple of times. But the bottom line is that you helped somebody more than once. And unfortunately, what you learned was it was kind of a waste of your time. You gave them $100 for a doctor's appointment, and you found out, they says, well, something came up, and I just couldn't make the appointment. And you kind of ask, what happened to the $100? And you find out that it went for cigarettes, beer, food, or gas in the tank, or a movie. And so you're thinking, what was the point? Because you felt good about yourself, because you had an extra $100, and you helped somebody out, and they were going to go to the doctor, and you thought, this is good. This is a good thing. And after a while, you become a little jaded, a little suspicious, because you think every time I've tried to help somebody, it really comes back to bite me in the rear pockets. It's just pointless. It's useless. All right, well, let's talk about this from a grace perspective. When someone is striving for more grace, when someone wishes that grace would do wondrous, glorious things for them, when they're wondering why grace doesn't literally save them, you really have to look at this from an absolute perspective and say, what have they done with the grace they've always had? What'd they do with that grace? Are they even aware that they have it? Okay, so they're aware they have it. Well, then that begs the question, why are they wanting more grace when they're not even using the grace they were born with? Why ask for more money when you don't spend the money you have correctly? Why ask for more food when you just waste it or let it rot on the vine? So now you kind of understand what we're talking about tonight. Because you could kind of classify it as a couple of different things. You could say it's waste. You could say, well, they just didn't know any better. Or organized religion has muddied the water so they just can't see to the bottom of the well that they were born with grace. Well, I don't think you can do that, Jim, because you have scripture that says all of our sins are forgiven and Jesus' blood washed our sins away.
Right.
Jim, it's kind of tough for someone to kind of flip up the attitude, I just didn't know.
Right. Yeah, everything about the Bible, for anybody that's ever invested any time in the scriptures, there's nothing about any story that ever worked, any what people would call a miracle that ever happened, where there wasn't evidence of the power of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I just gave three different ways of saying the same thing, but God being the influence in the situation. Now, years ago, when we're talking back in 1994, when I began to do prayer and healing school, and at that point, everything was kind of on my shoulders as far as people getting healed or not being healed. I couldn't just rely on it was Reverend Kenneth Hagin's ministry, and he was preaching that day, and I was singing or helping him in some way like we used to do in the Rhema Singers and Band. Back in that day, everything began as far as constant results, the more I began to recognize how full of God's grace I was, how that grace was upon my life, how that presence, that anointing, was upon other people's lives. And we began to get people to expect it, to believe in it, to act upon it, to use it. And the more we began to use, it's exactly like the scriptures talk about, the more we began to see. And so I don't see where this topic can't be discussed on a periodic basis, almost regularly, because this is one of the greatest discussions, in my opinion, when we really begin to get people aware of God's grace, really help you to step up in your understanding, your commitment to God's grace, and your conviction that it's there. Because once you know it's there, you see it, and then you experience it, then you're going to want to use it and get prayers answered all the time. So I think this is a really good subject, BJ. I think that there's some good scriptures for us to use tonight. And if I were saying what I'd like to see happen, I'd like to see people feel as though before the end of this show that they're beginning to recognize God's grace and they're going to be excited enough to do something with it.
Well, I do too. And remember, folks, we got the homework assignment. You're going to need a comfortable pair of shoes that you could walk around the block and be comfortable in. And then you want an uncomfortable pair of shoes, and you're going to want a chair or a stool, like a kitchen chair or some type of a stool or like a folding lawn chair. And you're going to want a little room for this. So we got the homework assignment coming up probably in a while. Just want to warn you to get your stuff ready. And also, speaking of being ready, if you'd like to send us an email, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence at Gmail. That's G, the letter G, gmail.com. If you'd like to send a text message, the first word that you type in your text message has to be the word grace. You type grace and then the rest of your comment or question. And then when you press the send button, it's only five digits, 69302. The way you contact the show through email or text messaging, it's all laid out on the radio show website, www.theabidingpresence.com. We've got some emails stacked up come in. We got one here that came in 4 days ago. It says, "Hi, Ranger and the guys. Just a quick note. It has been a pretty eventful week, and I was just heading off to bed and felt like I needed to share with you. There has been a lot of activity and stuff going on, and I feel... maybe not quite the right word, good, connected, peaceful, calm, grace is everywhere on everything. Even some events that formerly would have sent me spinning were non-events and actually turned out despite what it looked like initially. I actually caught myself thinking, wow, thanks, can't wait to see what you have lined up for tomorrow. This is like a whole new level of the rushing forward in a geometric progression. Not arrived, and know there is still so much more, but very, very excited. Stay warm, and still thankful it's warmer here than in Trinidad." And it says, "Love, Christine." You know, the Trinidad thing, knowing what the weather's like in Trinidad has really caught on. We heard from Fred in Germany.
Right.
Okay, Fred Winkler, he's the pastor in Germany. He's got a nice little church. It says, "I'm still out here listening to the shows from the archives. Usually I'm 2 to 3 weeks behind. Really good stuff. Helps me to stay on track. And sometimes you guys make me laugh really hard." Huh. See, he goes for walks in the Black Forest.
Right, right.
And I can just see him walking with it, you know, listening to the show, just laughing.
Yeah. Fred's a real fun guy.
Yeah, you know, I could just see that. A guy all alone in the woods laughing as he walks.
Yeah.
He's lucky somebody doesn't throw a net over him.
Yeah, that's right.
Says, "Just in case you haven't noticed, he was talking about how there's a mix-up in the archives, and you're going to take care of that."
Right.
And it says, "Look out for another package of goodies from Germany sometime in December. It's all yours. Jim will get his own." Wow.
Huh.
And it says, "Please say hello to Jim, Ranger, and all the listeners out there. Blessings." So, folks, here's from Fred. Fred's been on the... We need to get him on the show again.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
He must be really busy because he's listening 2 to 3 weeks behind.
Uh-huh.
And he's got to get up like at 3 o'clock in the morning if we want him to...
to be live.
To be on the show. And, all right, we got another one. This one says, "Hey, Jim, BJ, and Ranger, love the show. I make sure I acknowledge the guys in everything I do to make them more tangible in my life. I'm hearing more, but I want so much more. Trying to tune in to God 101, getting rid of some distractions also. So Facebook was the first thing to go. Jim was in town a couple weeks ago. I went for one healing, but got a double. Shoulder healed and some red sore mole looking. So she had some other skin issues that got fixed. And it says, I've got my shoes and chair ready, BJ. Now what?"
That's good.
This is from Chuck Abernathy. And he says, the tank top tattooed guy.
Oh, okay.
Do you know who that is?
Yep.
And he says, Destiny Bible, Lancaster.
Right.
South Carolina.
Good guy. Yep.
So Okay, we got one here that came in 13 hours ago. We're catching up. It says, hi, Jim, BJ Ranger, and all the listeners. Thanks, guys, for your continued consistent and direct message. I'm intentionally maintaining my focus to hear the voice of the Spirit and watching for and purposely changing routines. I want both my faith and my life to work exceptionally well. Thanks for being there each week to give us a new view on the same message. The wrong teachings have been so ingrained that often I don't even realize it. I appreciate you helping me to take the blinders off. See, I think that statement could apply to a lot of people.
Oh, I do too.
And it says, I don't feel the least bit sorry for the family in Trinidad. Even with their proximity to the South Pole, it's minus 18 degrees Celsius here today, and the wind chill and still snowing. Yesterday, my granddaughter and I made 3 snow people and a snow fort, and it's just mid-November.
Where is that?
And it says, this is Catherine from Pickering, Ontario.
Oh.
Do you think snow people means like snowmans?
Yeah. Yeah, snowmen.
Think that's what that means?
Yeah, I
do too. Yeah. A snow fort.
Right.
Well, the only reason you need a snow fort is if you're going to have a snowball fight. So apparently, Catherine...
We used to do all of that.
And her granddaughter are, you know, going to be doing something. Okay, we got a text. It says, love hearing the emails. Please check the mailbox this week. Thanks. We're going to talk about... Well, let's talk about the mailbox now.
Okay.
I checked it today.
I was stuck on minus 18 Celsius. That's got to be...
That's pretty cold.
About 14 degrees?
No, it'd be colder than that. It says, this one says, hey, Ranger... And her roadies. Ranger's roadies.
That's good.
Road Ranger! Oh, what do you say?
Oh, that's different.
Got a yawn.
Yeah.
A growl. Oh, come on. Bark! Ranger!
She said it's not time yet.
Ranger, bark. What do you say? Come on.
We're not done, are we? We got a ways.
There we go. It says, looking forward to a great show. Seeing grace literally everywhere in our lives right now. 2 pair of shoes in the picture. You tell me which ones are uncomfortable. Keep up the great work. Okay, somebody sent, it's Breakfast Ed. He sent a picture of a pair of Western boots and slip-on loafers. Well, I've never owned anything called a loafer. I had to fire a loafer from the ranch once.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah, there's no loafers on this ranch, Ed.
Yeah, I bet.
Then he's got a pair of, like, I don't know, some kind of, looks like some kind of an ostrich boot or something. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't.
That's got to be the uncomfortable one.
Well, whatever they are, they're, you know, they're his. Thank goodness they're not mine. Okay. Well, you know what I do. I buy one pair of boots and I wear them till they wear out, and then I go buy another pair. Why do you need more than one pair of shoes? I've never really understood that.
A pair of boots on tonight.
It says, you do. Who'd you borrow those from?
They're mine.
It says, hi, Ranger, Jim, BJ, Mom, Dad, Barb, Dave, and all the listeners.
Wow.
I'm happy to be listening in Tracy, California tonight. I had barbecued burnt ends with mashed potatoes, coleslaw, and a cornbread muffin for dinner. Now I'm working it off while riding my exercise bike and listening to your show.
Okay, sounds like Sue.
Well, watch out for traffic. Well, she's riding a bike at night. That's right. Dangerous. I hope she has, like, reflectors on or something.
Oh, she's stationary bike.
It was a joke, Jim.
Yeah.
I mean, apparently everybody got it, but you.
Me.
How would you... You should see the look on this guy's face. Okay, the horses got it. Even the bales of hay got that joke.
I was trying to help you out.
You were trying to help me out, really. Oh, wow. That's the way to go. All right, okay, so we're caught up on emails. We're caught up on text messages.
Yep.
And remember, folks, we've got the homework assignment coming up in about 15 to 20 minutes. So you've still got time to get your chair, like a kitchen chair or a stool, a pair of comfortable shoes, and a pair of uncomfortable shoes for walking.
Do you know the amount of people, I think about Jesus' ministry, the amount of people that passed him by,
yeah,
where the same grace was on him that the woman with the issue of blood touched and got.
Right.
But the amount of people that passed him by, the percentage had to be huge.
Well, it was. You know, remember, I've always said this to you, Jim, and I think I've said it on the show. Jesus wasn't perfect by any means. He really didn't have that good of a batting average, because the overwhelming majority of people that knew where he was, and a lot of them that even came and checked him out, they never went anywhere. They didn't get anything. Jesus was only perfect in 100% to those people who had an open heart and an open mind that wanted to be connected to his Father.
Right. And there were some large groups that were that way. But what I'm saying, my comment was, individually, when we look at individual cases in the Scriptures, there was an amazing amount of people that passed him by.
Right.
While one person would get something.
Yep.
I mean, the odds were not good that way.
Well, look at if you take this philosophy, think how that would motivate Paul to write a letter to somebody.
Yeah.
And say, you participated in grace. You know grace is real. Uh-huh. You benefited from grace. Why have you gone back to your old life before you even knew what grace was?
So we could basically say the majority of people Paul was writing to, because really all of them, except for that church at Thessalonica, where Paul wrote and he commended him. He said, we were wondering how things were going, but we sent Timothy and he brought back a glowing report that your faith is being talked about throughout, you know, throughout all the region. But other than that particular church, the majority of them, BJ, he was saying it to everybody. Why are you not where you were? Why have you gone backwards? So there again is a percentage that's extremely large of people that were missing the grace or the presence of God.
Well, and the people he wrote those letters to, they weren't exactly robbing banks and killing people.
No.
They were leading good lives. I guess you could say exemplary lives. They were still living a kind of a grace mandated life. They just weren't using grace, acknowledging grace, or participating. And so it kind of goes to the topic tonight to say, why ask for more when you don't use what you have?
Yeah. Well, these people Paul was writing to, Paul in each letter called them brethren, called them, you know, in other words, those that were believers, those that were saved, had an experience with God. But in each case, he was bringing a message of get back to your first
called
love.
Them, you know.
Really, you know, that's one of the things that Jesus talked about over there in Revelation with the Apostle John when he was having a vision. Is he said, there's some of you that have left your first love. Well, that's what we're talking about.
Find some scripture that talks about this.
Yeah.
Turn the fan on.
Okay.
Probably medium. It's getting warm in here. This room is very well insulated. You know, if people could see photos of this room, they'd die. Because the walls are covered in egg cartons.
Yeah.
They really are. Mm-hmm. 1,280 brand new, never used egg cartons.
Yep. Walls are covered in egg cartons. We're sitting on bales of hay.
No, we're sitting on some. We're sitting on office chairs that are like
losing their.
They're dying on us. The chairs are dying.
I watched BJ shrink.
Before
in about
the
a 5-minute period of time, he shrunk about 7 inches.
He couldn't even, you should have seen it, he couldn't even talk because he just kept watching me because like every 30 seconds my chair would like bob and lower me an inch or so.
Shake up and down, then boop, there you go again.
I know, we need new chairs, you know. But remember, the people from the manufacturer said, oh, they lasted that long for two years?
Right.
I can't believe our chairs lasted for 2 years. Gee, many Christmas.
So I've got a scripture here that I think you'll like. And I'm going to read it in the King James here, just a second. So Paul was talking, and I thought this was really good. It says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. Now he's talking again to believers. He's talking to those that are he calls brethren.
Right.
So what are they doing? They're reverting back, or they've either never stepped beyond the way that they were walking, or they reverted back to the way that they used to walk. In the futility of their minds, notice the next part says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them and because of the blindness of their heart or the hardness of their heart. Now, the word alienated means to be a non-participant in the life of God. Well, there it is right there. In other words, because of the lack of insight, because of the hardness of their heart, because of ignorance, these are all different ways of saying, in one sense, the same thing. All of them lead to, you're not paying attention to the grace of God, and as a result, it's there, but you're not using it. You're not benefiting from it. Now, Paul's talking to people just like this. So, I feel like we're right on target as far as the people group. If Paul's having to do this to some of the best places he's ever been to, then what's the possibility today that people are going everywhere and not using the grace of God?
Well, and let's bring in organized religion, because that's what everybody relies on, and that's kind of the benchmark for doing things the right way.
Right.
I mean, it's kind of interesting. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, you look at it in 2,000 years, it wasn't that long ago. You go back in the history of the United States of America, and people based their relationship with God on how well they adhered to Scripture. In the 30s and 40s and even into the 50s, 1950s, it wasn't about where you went. It was about what you knew about the book and how you applied it to your life.
Yes.
And you fast forward. We're not talking about that long. We're talking about you fast forward 50 to 60 years in time.
Right.
It's not about the Bible anymore. It isn't about Scripture. It's about where do you go to worship? And how large is their congregation?
Mm-hmm.
And how many satellite buildings do they have?
Right.
And orchestras and bands and big projection screen TVs blasting excerpts of Scripture.
Yeah. They're everywhere.
I remember when I was a little kid that if you went somewhere, and it didn't matter what religious organization you belonged to, but the person up at the front at the pulpit, they would say, turn your book to this page.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about this chapter, this verse, and what I'm reading.
Right.
And then he would make a comment about the weather, or he would comment on how well somebody looked, or it was nice to see him, or ask him how they were feeling. And it gave everybody a chance to open up a Bible and turn to what he was going to talk about.
Right. Right.
They don't do that anymore.
No.
One day the guys had me drive, one Sunday morning they had me drive all over the Tulsa area. Building to building to building to building to building. And it was amazing how many buildings there were, how many thousands of people were in attendance in these buildings, and how little Scripture there was, how many people didn't have Bibles.
Hmm.
I saw a couple on dashboards. I'd see some in seats. You know, and it seemed like the only people that had a book were the older people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, who haven't converted yet.
And there's a message in this. It shows a systemic problem of misinformation and how we're getting farther and farther away from what is supposed to be everyday common.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's not much common, if you think about it, at all for most people with having God being real in their life.
The main point about the punishment in Genesis was to separate them from as far as possible and to change their life as far from what the reality was of being in the Garden of Eden, walking with God.
Yeah, and you know, the message hasn't changed. I mean, what I'm reading right here in Scripture is exactly what we're talking about. It's just it's become more prolific, or just become...
Well, it's become more real.
Uh-huh.
See, there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world.
Right, right.
It's become, you know, more and more watered down and manipulated.
You know, I'm looking at the message of what I just read before. Look at what this says. It says, "And so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They've refused so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. But that's no life for you. You learned Christ." And I like what Paul says here. "My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have an excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go. It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it. And then take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life. A life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you." That's pretty good, isn't it?
It is.
But it really spells out what we're talking about tonight. What do we got?
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm kind of wrapping my head
around it. It's a warning. It's a warning. We're getting close to the homework assignment.
Oh, there you go.
A comfortable pair of walking shoes, an uncomfortable pair of shoes, a stool or a chair. I'm just trying to let people know we're getting closer.
Okay. I was kind of thinking we were all on.
What is it? What is it? What? Say hi. She just doesn't want to speak tonight.
I think she's waiting for the end of the show to just do her thing.
I know. She had an easy day. She was laying on the tailgate of the truck most of the afternoon, watching me build a new door for the chicken coop.
Hmm.
So she spent the day in the sun, out of the wind.
It did warm up a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah.
In the 40s? Pretty much, I think.
I think so. I don't know. I didn't really pay attention.
Yeah.
All I knew is I was working enough that I didn't even have a coat on. And, but yeah.
Yeah, you must have been out of the wind. If you're out of the wind, then I'd say that you could do that.
Well, I was close to the barn because I need electricity for the drills and the saws and the grinders. Building a new chicken coop door.
Okay.
Somebody accidentally shot holes in the other one.
Who shot holes in the other one?
Well, I don't know, but I would have fired them if it wasn't me. There was a snake. There was a snake. And so I blasted the snake, and it blasted the door. And so, you know.
Well, you didn't have a shotgun, did you?
No.
Okay.
No. But, yeah, so I blasted it. You know, the thing that we talked about at the beginning of the show tonight about, right. And think about this. Honestly, folks, frankly, seriously, come on now. Would you keep giving somebody $20 when you knew they were just, you might as well just throw it out into the wind?
Yeah.
You might as well just crumple that $20 bill up and flush it in the toilet in the bathroom for all the good, giving $20 to that person. We've all in our lives done that, where somebody's asked to borrow something, or could we lend them something? Could we help them? And we do it, and we feel good about it, but then we feel almost tricked or deceived. It makes us feel stupid or foolish because we feel insulted and slighted that we helped someone,
right,
and they didn't even respect us enough to do with what we gave them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you're born with grace. You have grace. All of your sins are forgiven. Ask and you shall receive. The blood of Jesus paid for your sins. Now, where's your grace? Yep. What are you doing with the grace you were born with? So how much sense does it make to ask for more when you don't use what you already have?
Yeah, Yeah, I'm going to read that passage that we talked about earlier that kind of explains the whole premise of what we're talking about tonight. It's over in Matthew 25 and verse 14, and it's a little bit lengthy, but I'll try to hurry here. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then, when he had received the 5 talents, went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained another 2 talents beside them. His Lord said unto them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that you were a hard man, reaping where you had not sown and gathering where you had not strawed. I was afraid, and I went and hid my talent in the earth. And lo, that's where it was. And the Lord answered and said unto him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gathered where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put the money into a changer or into a bank, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10 talents. To every one that has shall be given, and to he that has an abundance, but from him that hath not shall it be taken away, even that which he had. Well, he called that one an unprofitable servant, and he called the others profitable servants. So look at what we have here. Is it possible that we're burying the grace that we have? Is it possible we're burying the anointing or God's presence that we all have? Do you know, I look over into a verse of Scripture in Hebrews 11, verse 1, and again, I'm trying to, and I believe we're gonna accomplish our goal, remind each of you that the anointing of God is real. You have God's grace. It's there. His influence is in your life, but we must recognize it, and you must use it. And even if at first it seems daring to do so, God is with you, and grace will never let you down. I remember the verse of Scripture in Hebrews 11:1 that says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And in the one translation that I like called Distilled Translation, it says, Now faith is betting your life on the unseen realities of God. BJ, that's kind of what Jesus said to the woman with the issue of blood when he said in the Message Bible, Daughter, you took a risk of faith, and look, it's paid off.
Yep.
You know, I don't see, now this is me, and you watch people way more than I do, but I don't see people, very many people getting out of a place of comfort. They've created a world where there's enough comfort in what they can do.
It's literally just the opposite. People have a very great inner desire that really controls a lot of their actions and a lot of their time on what they're willing to do. They'll say, well, yeah, that sounds kind of fun and crazy, but I ain't doing it. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
And nobody likes to be a leader. Nobody wants to blaze a new trail. I mean, think about it. People get mad because they've moved the cream corn in the grocery store to another aisle. People get mad when they go to a restaurant and there's new menus. People get flustered and upset when there's road construction and there's detour signs and they have to make a couple of rights and a couple of lefts and a U-turn to get to work.
Okay, well,
their favorite TV show is not on a Tuesday. It's now on a Thursday at a different time. This shows how people have a very small comfort zone and they don't like to venture out from it.
Yeah, well, here's what I was going to say. You know, it's not like I feel like I'm a trailblazer, but this is what, even our radio show is different enough from the status quo. And you know, we talked before. I mean, there's people that don't like our show. You know, some of my friends and
most
people,
of your friends,
most of my friends.
I would say that yeah. I would say that if you lined up all your friends, maybe one would like the show.
Right, just a few.
They'd like it better if I died and or was arrested or abducted by little green men.
Yeah, the little green men would probably make him happy.
Well, I mean, most of your friends think that, you know, you've got one foot in hell and the other one on a banana peel because you associate right. with me.
Well, here's my point. It's not like I'm trying to prove anything.
Right.
But there's something inside me that says, how can I live with myself knowing there's more if I don't venture out beyond my walls to find it?
Right.
It's like that one friend that came and stayed this summer and for 3 hours talked to me all about how I needed to rethink what I was doing because people were talking about me and I might not have as good of a ministry if people don't want me to come anymore. And at the end of those 3 hours, I asked him one question of which he had no answer for. I said, so here's the only thing I can say to all of that. And he said, what's that? I said, what if I'm right? And his mouth dropped open and just sat there looking at me.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that you get feedback and you get response that person never will. The reason you keep doing what you're doing is because it works.
Right.
I mean, you're not an idiot.
Right.
You know, you're not stupid. And so the reason you keep, I guess you would say, straying off the path, your friends would think, mm-hmm. or that the reason you keep saying crazy things that some of them think you are is because it works and the results are instantaneous.
Right.
And that's what bothers them because either they're too stupid, too weak, or they're too afraid to venture. And what they're doing isn't working.
So this brings me to my point of why I brought that up. I get it that the majority have such a small little space of comfort and they don't want to venture out of it.
Right.
But what part of them knows inside that they're not experiencing what they should, that they're wrong, and they don't want it corrected?
Well,
that's the part that makes me want to say.
I think you're giving them too much credit because, you know, I mean, I say this all the time. Jim, you are a much friendlier, politer, nicer person than I ever want to be or could be. I think that you give them too much credit. I think that unfortunately they think what they're doing works because that's all they've known. That's what they were taught. That's what they're doing. And they're fine with it because it works good enough for them to make a living.
Okay, do you know that when I talk about, and I don't always, but I do bring it up, especially at times because I need a little shock and awe. You know how you do that a little bit with people?
I never do that.
No, you never do that. Especially with me, you never do that.
No.
No, you're just amazingly nice. But anyhow,
that's right.
I'll bring out this point about the difference between a real healing where no one is involved except God or the healings that we've succumbed to in our testimonies that are filled with nothing more than every doctor's report, all the medicine, all the surgeries, but thank God I've recovered and I'm doing very well to the praise and glory of God, which doesn't really compute because four other people didn't have any thought of God at all and they recovered just as well. Yep. So when I'll say things like that, people get very, very, very quiet. Which just shows you that what's become acceptable is burying your grace. It's acceptable to not know it, to not know of it, to bury it, to not use it.
They don't acknowledge it. They don't accept that they have it. So how in the world would they ever be expected to take advantage of it? And then so they're put in a position where they're striving, working, doing everything they can to find grace and to have more grace, when in reality, why would they need more grace when they don't use what they have?
Right.
Which is the topic of tonight's show.
So just in a real simple illustration, grace is not just an influence, although it is, it's a person. Grace is real. Grace, in other words, what I'm saying is God's presence, God's grace, God's anointing, what we're talking about, if you acknowledge it, it will acknowledge you.
It will acknowledge you as a child of God.
Right, but I'm saying it's not like God is hiding. He's very openly trying to get our attention, and if someone turns to him, he's right there.
It's literally like someone saying, I'm dying of thirst, and they're floating around in a swimming pool of fresh drinking water.
That's a real good example, yeah.
Yeah. I keep swimming, and I really need a glass of water, and they're sitting in 2,000 gallons of
fresh,
bottled water.
Yeah, fresh.
Floating around like a bobber off a fishing pier.
Right.
You know, and they're begging for a drink.
Yeah.
They're saying, boy, I wish I had a pop. I wish I had a can of beer. I wish I had some sweet tea. I wish I had some coffee or cappuccino.
Right.
I'm dying of thirst here. And at the same time, they're spitting little bits of water out of their mouth because they're worried about drowning.
Yeah. Isn't that something? Because if you put yourself in the position of a healing or an answer to a prayer, and here you are swimming in the actual answer of your prayer.
So then think about it. If somebody's in a swimming pool of drinking water, and they're praying, and they're trying to strive, and they're trying to memorize scripture, and they're trying to do all these things because they're thirsty and they need a decent drink, what's the point of making the pool deeper?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, you're right.
What's the point of making the pool twice as big?
Right.
Because you might as well put them in a kiddie pool.
Yeah.
For all the good they do themselves.
Right. Right.
And you can't say this is the devil's work. This has nothing to do with education or the color of somebody's skin or whether they're 10 years old or they're 70 years old. It's about perception and realizing who you are and what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even the idea of praying for something more when there's plenty, there's nothing about that that's humbling.
No, it's right up there with what you're praying for really isn't a prayer.
Right. It's not at all.
No, you're asking for things that are spiritually ridiculous.
Right. In God's eyes, he can't even hear that. Give me more, and you're swimming in it.
It's like, I don't pray for rain, and I don't pray for snow, and I don't pray for sunny days. All I do is say thanks for a really good harvest of hay.
Yeah, it's like saying...
And I always get one.
It's like saying, Mom and Dad, Mom, make me some more eggs. And she's like, you haven't even eaten the ones I made you. What kind do you want this time? Well, the same kind.
Yeah.
It's like, no, eat the ones you got.
That's right.
I mean, it's really... Okay, so you know a little bit. About, but I haven't updated you on some things, okay? So I'm not going to use names to protect the innocent type thing. But in the last 2 weeks,
okay,
I've prayed 2 weeks ago and then one last week.
Okay.
I've prayed for two young ladies, one 16 years old and one 19 years old, that had, both of them had Crohn's disease.
Okay.
Where their intestines were all messed up.
Right.
One of them, the doctors wanted to take the whole colon.
Really?
Yikes. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the next step. The other one, major surgery, next step two. And this poor little gal, the one I prayed for last week, she's 16. She went down to 79 pounds. Okay? She wasn't real big to begin with, but I mean, she was like 110 pounds. Okay? Went down to 79 pounds. Okay? Can't eat anything. Everything's going right through her.
Right.
All right? So the first one I prayed for, and within that first week, from the very first night, everything began to change. Her bowels were fine, eating fine, beginning to progress, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she just, it's as though she decided to let go, to drop her phone, to put her purse on a picnic bench and take off without it, like let go of it. And then she started going back and started wanting to just, I'm tired. I'm not going to go to school today. I'm tired. I'm just tired. And then tired went to, I can't get out of bed now, which went to, I'm starting to suffer with all the same symptoms all over again. Now, the second person I prayed for last week, they just grabbed this hook, line, and sinker. And bowels are perfect.
Took off like already, a rocket.
Already gained back up to 90 pounds. So that's 11 pounds gained back just 1 week. That's pretty good. Already starting to do things, cleaning the bedroom, right. Starting to clean the house. In other words, I'm back at it. I just have to gain my strength back.
That's personal perspective. That's the difference between someone acknowledging grace and using the grace that they have and is afforded to them. Because, see, grace is like an all-you-can-eat spiritual buffet. I know it's buffet, but I like buffet.
Yeah.
Because it irritates people.
Yeah.
Oh, I just love your buffet. Sir, it's pronounced buffet.
Yeah.
But because that's it. Because the endless, boundless love and glory of Christ is always more. Well, how can you have more grace when you don't take advantage of the grace you already have?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, for the one that was the first one I prayed for, you know this person that's kind of as an intermediary, kind of working with this
well,
gal.
I know her mom.
And but you know.
Sort of know her mom.
Yeah. But the gal that did the show here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, I shared with her this because she was going to talk with her tonight. I shared with her, I said, remember Peter on the water. He got his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. But he only began to sink. In other words, the fact that God's forgiven all of her bad choices, all of her sins.
Right.
He's not mad at her. He's not just saying, forget you and walking away. He's there if she'll repent, if she'll acknowledge he's there. Instantly, she goes right back to the surface, like Peter.
You could have showed her the hole in the paper.
That's real good, too. I didn't think of that.
Because you could have said, look, she's holding the paper right up to her eye. Last week's homework assignment.
Yep.
She's holding it right up to her eye. She's feeling better. She's gaining weight. She has more energy. And she literally chose to extend her arm out and not see anything at all.
Not see anything. Yeah, that'd be a good one, too.
That's why people feel better while they have a healing and they don't, and then they need more prayers and they need more this because it worked for a while and then it feigned. Where in the world does someone get that idea? Because it's nowhere in the book that things have an expiration date or a shelf life.
I know.
Hi, my name is Jesus and you're no longer a leper. Oh yeah, by the way, in 45 days you got to come back for a touch up.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of like the glass slipper.
Yep.
At midnight, you're going to turn back into a pumpkin, you know?
I don't wear slippers, Jim.
I know you don't. It's all right. I don't either.
Uh-oh.
I think it's time.
Homework assignment. Homework assignment. All right, folks. Have your chair, your stool, your comfortable shoes, your uncomfortable shoes.
Sounds like a tornado warning.
All right, enough of that. Just shut that off. Okay, folks, here we go with tonight's homework assignment. Okay, the first thing I want you to do is place the kitchen chair or the stool in the center of the room, okay? If you have to shove a coffee table or another piece of furniture out of the way, go ahead and do that, okay? First thing you need to do is get that chair in the middle of the room so you can walk around it. Okay, what I want you to do right now is I'll give you a little bit of time to do it, is I want you to put the pair of shoes that you chose that would be uncomfortable. something if you had to walk a couple of miles because your car broke down. Or you're going to be Christmas shopping and you're going to be walking all over the mall and standing for hours. You wouldn't want to do it in these shoes. So I want you to put those uncomfortable shoes on right now. And as you're putting those comfortable shoes on, folks, this would be a great time for some of you to text the show. The way you send a text to the show is the first word that you type is the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, grace. And then type the rest of your message. A hello, comment, or just you want to hear where you live. And when you press the send button, there's no area code. You don't have to put a one in front of it. It's literally just five numbers, 69302. That's 69302 is the number to send a text. If you would like to send an email tonight, it's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no capital letters, The Abiding Presence at G, the letter G as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. And both of these, both the text and the email are available on the show's website, www.TheAbidingPresence.com on the contacts page. Okay, I've given you just literally about 60 seconds to put your uncomfortable shoes on. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand up and I want you to go over to the chair or the stool. And I want you to walk in a circle as close as humanly possible to that chair. Now, you don't have to run. You can just walk at a slow pace. But I want you to notice as you're walking around this chair, so close that you really have to pay attention so that your feet don't touch the chair, that you don't accidentally trip because you're walking so close to the chair. I want you to look at the chair and walk as close as you can in a circle around the chair. And then once you realize that you're walking that circle, I don't want you to run, but just pick up the pace a little bit. Not too much, but just kind of walk a little bit so you're going around in a circle very fast and very quickly. Okay? Now that you've walked around that chair, however many times that you've done that, I want you to now take one step, one normal step, away from the chair, and I want you to walk again in those uncomfortable shoes. So now you have the safety of knowing that you're not going to trip, you're not going to stumble on the legs of the chair or the stool, so that you can walk faster now. And even though the shoes are uncomfortable, notice how much faster you can walk, how you can take a longer, more natural stride, because the circle's a little bigger and you're just a little farther away from the chair. Now that you've made three or four or five laps around that chair, I want you to stop. And what I want you to do now is take those uncomfortable shoes off, and I want you to put your comfortable shoes on. And while they're doing that, Jim, we got a text that says, "We've been overstuffed with religion and I have become dopey." And it says, "Have mercy." That's a text. Yeah, we just got a text that says, "We've been overstuffed with religion and have become dopey. Have mercy." We just got an email that came in. It says, you guys live tonight? I can't tell. It says, "Why? Laugh out loud, I started about 20 minutes late." This is from Chris. I think he's a joke. He just wondered if we're live. And are you live, Jim? I am.
I'm live.
The only one that I'm not sure about is
Ranger tonight.
Ranger is a little mellow. Aren't you, Ranger? Oh, she's picking up. She likes the homework assignment.
I think so.
Okay, folks, I've given you another minute. So now you've taken your uncomfortable shoes off. Now I want you to put your comfortable shoes on. I want you to go back to square one. I want you to walk around that stool or chair just as close as you did in your uncomfortable shoes. But now I want you to do something for me. I want you to go around the chair twice. Count as you go around. I walked around the chair once. I've walked around twice. And every two times that you walk around the chair, I want you to take a step away from the chair. And then I want you to walk around the chair twice. And then take another step away from the chair. So by the time you've walked around the chair six times, you're literally two steps away from the chair. Now you could literally continue to do this forever. And what you're going to find is you have comfortable shoes on. It's easier to move. You're not thinking about your feet anymore. You're just thinking about counting and moving farther away from the chair. And the bigger the circle gets, the easier it is to walk. And eventually you get such distance from that chair, you can actually start to trot, to run. Because the circle keeps getting bigger and bigger, and you can move faster. Now, what's really interesting about this, the chair hasn't changed. The chair hasn't moved. The chair hasn't been painted or upholstered. The chair is exactly the same. The only difference is the choices that you've made and the way you're moving, you're far more removed to the point where it's exciting to see just how fast you can go around the chair and how big of a circle you can make. When Scripture talks about there's nothing good of the flesh and there's nothing good of the world, and that if I take care of the birds and the bees, and you're not supposed to worry about what you're wearing or where you're going to sleep tonight or what you're going to eat. To let the cares of the day take care of themselves. This is what Scripture is talking about. Because when you're wearing uncomfortable shoes and you are so intent on circling that chair and trying to have a chokehold on your life, and you're trying to control so many things in your life that are literally out of your control. You can't walk naturally. You can't feel or enjoy the trip, or even enjoy anything, because you're too busy turning small, tight circles in uncomfortable shoes.
Yeah.
And as soon as you put comfortable shoes on, which is enjoying grace and acknowledging yourself as a child of God, look at your stride, look at your pace, because all of a sudden you're choosing grace. You're choosing God's love, the power of Christ, and you're moving more swiftly, more comfortably. And all of a sudden, those comfortable shoes, which is grace, you're not even thinking about your feet anymore. You're just excited to see what happens next, how far you can travel, and how much ground you can get away from the world of the flesh.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the message here. Now, think about this. And take this in conjunction with last week's homework assignment, where you take a small hole in a piece of paper made with a pen or a pencil, and you hold that piece of paper in that hole right up next to your eye, and you can see through it. But if you choose to worry about things and what you can't see, or you should see more, you want either a bigger hole with your finger, or you choose to move that piece of paper at the extent of your arm, and now you can barely see there's a hole. So the point of these two homework assignments is, how do you see yourself? How do you see the world?
Right.
And the way you see yourself and the way you see the world is how you're going to move through it.
Yeah, that's good. I'm going to relate something from Scripture to
what
you
said. Did you
like that? Yeah, I did. And, you know, you think about how easy it is to give credibility for someone experiencing God and His grace when they're a minister, when they're somebody that has had a special, quote-unquote, special experience. They've had a vision, they've seen sometimes had a dream, they've seen angels, they've seen Jesus. And then you give them credibility as though, well, that's the reason why. That's why they're experiencing them. But if you think about it, in Jesus' day, the anointing, the grace of God that was upon His life, His ability to connect and stay constantly connected to His Father wasn't something that He was doing for His own good. Remember, now, there was nothing that was imperfect in Him. He was connected to His Father. The reason why He stayed connected is obviously to show us that it's possible for an individual to be connected to God. It's possible for anybody who would receive Christ to be connected to God. And this is my point. We so often put people in a special category, and then we cause our own relationship with God to lose its importance. But I want to share with you that every single person has the same grace on them that Jesus had on Him. The same Holy Spirit that was with Him is with you. And like I've told people that come up to me and say, I'm just really believing for a healing, or I'm believing for finances, I'm believing for this and that. And I tell them, if there's one thing you want to be believing for, forget about all those other things. Put your faith on. Be convinced. Believe God that you have a connection with Christ and that He's real in your life. That's the thing to be believing God for, because as BJ gave those homework assignments and talked about the perspective of how you see yourself, this is exactly my point. People are so used to someone else being anointed, somebody else like a minister, someone that they think is special, having grace. Of course, that's why they get their prayers answered. But it's for every single person, and no one has a better opportunity. Everyone, I'm telling you, grace leveled the playing field and gave to every single person the ability to contact God and experience Him.
Well, see, that's kind of plan B, Jim, because it's really easy and very comfortable and very effective to say, well, the reason they do it is because they're special and God is using them in a special way. Matter of fact, some of your friends have said that about me.
Well, that's because religion paints that picture. That's what we've been taught.
You've literally, some of your friends, it says, well, sometimes God picks somebody and temporarily does special things through them with them.
Right. It's the same thought that happens when somebody's super excited about Jesus because they've just met Him and He's doing all kinds of wonderful things, and they go to a religious service and all the fuddy-duddies that excuse me, don't have a relationship anymore, say, well, you just wait and see how long this lasts.
Well, see, and the reason they do that is because it lets them off the hook. It gives them a reason to fail, or it gives them a reason not to do anything.
Right.
Well, you know, the reason that worked is because, well, you know, that just happens sometimes. It doesn't work like that for everybody else. Well, what have they just done? They've literally just decided for themselves that it's acceptable to fail, because otherwise they have to ask themselves, what am I doing wrong?
Right.
And literally what they don't realize is it's really kind of insulting and a slap in the face to the guys for Scripture to say everybody is equal in the eyes of God. You're all my children, and I love you all, and you're all born with grace, and Jesus' blood paid for all of your sins, but this only applies to certain people at certain times under certain situations.
Right.
Well, it doesn't. So when someone says, this isn't a common occurrence, this is a random thing, and who knows why this happens sometimes, that's literally a very insulting thing to say.
Right, sure it is.
Because you're literally saying that Scripture is lying, that it's wrong. Because if you say, well, no, that's not what I mean, well, then what is it that you mean? Because Scripture says everybody gets everything.
Right, right. And if you think about, as a general consensus, the majority of people are, you could say, lack confidence in their own ability. They lack confidence in their self-assurance. And a message like that feeds right to the very heart of them saying, well, yeah, that's right. There's no way I can do this.
Right.
I mean, it goes right with it. It's so wrong. I mean,
yeah.
And for years we've been taught these kind of things that some people just have an advantage because of their gift, because of their calling, because God's done something special for them.
Yeah.
And it really plays into feeling like, well, this is the reason why I have to accept where I'm at. And this is the kind of life I have with God, you know. I don't know him, I don't really hear him, but I believe he's there. It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, the other day I was in a veterinary clinic and we were just sitting around shooting the breeze. It was a slow day. Slow day for hay, slow day for horses. It was kind of cold and snowy, uh-huh. Not a lot going on. I just stopped at the vet clinic to shoot the breeze because I saw everybody was there. They're just sitting around, you know, eating uh-huh. microwave popcorn and hot chocolate. And
right.
So we're sitting there and one of the vet techs, she says, I just don't understand why you can do what you can do. And I says, what are you talking about? And she says, well, I've seen that horse that was blind in an eye, and you know, I've heard this, and you know, I've seen some of the things, you know, that
right.
you know,
sure,
you know, I just don't get it. You know, you never go anywhere to worship. You don't belong. You know, you don't talk or act like a Christian should. I guess it's just, you know, something special. And I said, so you're going to hell then, right? No, and one of the vets just rolled his eyes and he goes, well, here we go, folks.
Yeah.
It's going to get interesting now.
Right.
And she goes, well, what? And I says, well, that's what you're saying.
Right.
You're saying I have it and you don't. Mm-hmm. And I use it and you don't. So I guess you're gonna burn in hell like a rump roast on high in the oven too long. She says, well, no, that's not, no, because everybody's loved. And she starts, you know, quoting scripture. And I says, well, so then what does that mean? If you believe that and you just quoted scripture, then doesn't that mean that whatever I'm doing, anybody can do? And what I'm doing, people can do more. 10 times, 1,000 times more.
Right.
What does it say for the person who does nothing?
She got quiet.
Oh, she just goes, oh, whatever. And she just stomped out of the room.
And really? She wasn't brave enough to answer.
One of the vets, he says, well, there's another miracle you performed. What? And he says, nobody can make her shut up. We all started laughing.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, on that note, I think me and Ranger are going to go to the truck stop and see if we can't locate a piece of coconut cream pie. But, all right, folks, it's time for emails and text messages about the homework assignment. It says, how do we boost our confidence? And then it says, thank you. Jim?
Yeah, well, this is the whole ingenious part, too. And this is something I think is amazingly wonderful about what we're presenting. Is as you begin to, and look at what Jesus did. He didn't start with saying, you know, everybody just raise somebody from the dead. He said, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. See, as you begin to appreciate the very smallest of things and God's involvement in his planet, in his creation, then how much more is his involvement there for you? So you just begin to build your confidence by taking note of these things, having a desire to see more of God and experience more of him, and you will. And as you do, it builds a repertoire, if you will. It builds credibility in who God is. It builds your confidence to believe in him. And all of that is important to developing a relationship with God.
Confidence comes from successful repetition, positive habits. The more grace you acknowledge, the more grace you're going to acknowledge. The more active you are, the stronger you will become. The more well-read you are, the more knowledge you're going to have. The more your brain will be strong and absorb information. It's literally, I hate to coin this phrase, but if you don't use it, you lose it.
Uh-huh.
And so that's how you build confidence, is through small baby steps of acknowledgement and success. We got another text that says, "Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Good show tonight, fellas. Dennis and Muriel Mattson, Tampa, Florida." Hey, speaking of Tampa, Florida, you got a letter from Tampa, Florida. Where'd you get word? What are the letters that you got? Because we've had all kinds of mail. Oh, and by the way, a guy named Ronald.
R.
Ronald with a last name that starts with an R. He sent us some chocolate-covered pretzels, a couple of Kit Kat candy bars, and two Hershey dark chocolate with almonds. And also, he sent a nice little thank you piece of paper. But want to say thanks to Dennis and Muriel Mattson. They sent us a letter.
That's
and
right.
Who else did you get a letter from?
We got one from Miss Beth in Wyoming.
Yeah, I like Wyoming.
Yeah. And my mom was telling me today, because she's helping out with the ministry right now while Amber, our secretary, has had her baby. She was saying that there's a couple other folks that have given to the radio show.
Sent letters and said hi,
yeah,
hello,
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, and just were very kind in what they sent and helping out the show. And then, of course, there's some others, a couple others that help us out every month for
today's
the
date,
show.
Today's date is Tuesday the 18th, and I'll go to the mailbox next Tuesday the 25th. So that gives you 7 days if you want to send something in the mail to say hi. You can do it. And the address for the P.O. Box is on the radio show website,
uh-huh,
on the contacts page. It said, we got an email here. It says, "Hey, guys, we're enjoying..." He called me Uncle BJ.
Huh.
I can't be an uncle. That requires family, children, all kinds of
Maybe he's
stuff.
Thinking of age or something.
I don't know. It says, "Hey, guys, we're enjoying Uncle BJ's stories and parables. 18 degrees here in North Carolina tonight. Great topic tonight." This is from Tim Yokley.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't Tim know Breakfast Ed?
Yeah, they're friends.
Are they?
Yeah, they're best friends.
Are you sure?
I think so.
Okay.
Yep.
And we're not getting, you know what? We haven't gotten one single text or email about the homework assignment. Maybe they're still walking.
Is this your month?
What?
This is a birthday month for you, isn't it?
I don't know.
Huh.
Why? What's that got to do with the homework assignment?
Oh, I don't know. I was just thinking about the Uncle BJ comment. And
what?
It was a birthday month for me, too, you know, so I got older.
I don't know. My birthday's the same time every year.
Okay.
I don't know. That's weird.
Yeah.
Are you going to be here next week?
I am.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure. Speaking of things coming up, tomorrow night, Wednesday, you're going to be at the library.
The library's off for 2 weeks. They're busy remodeling tonight.
Tomorrow night. They're fumigating. It was on the news. The Hardesty Library's got a big tent over it. You know why? Bookworms. That was good.
Get out. I got that.
Yeah. See, for all the kids listening, the next time somebody wants you to read a book, say, "I'm afraid of bugs." And they'll say, "What?" And say, "Yeah, I don't want to get any bookworms." I don't even know if we have kids listening.
I don't know.
Or dogs. We haven't heard from, we've heard from Dennis and Muriel Mattson. I mean, if people don't say their names on text messaging, we don't know. We heard from Breakfast Ed before the show.
Huh?
Tim Yokley.
Breakfast Tim.
Yokley or Yockley? Yokley?
Yokley.
Yokley?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What's he do for a job? He's not a banker, is he?
No, he's self-employed.
Is he? What's he do?
Amway.
Really?
Huh?
I got some relatives that are heavy hitters at Amway.
Really? You might know them.
Yeah, I mean, they used to heavy hitters. I got a relative that had a warehouse the size of Walmart for distributing all their Amway products.
That's a ton.
Yeah, they had forklifts, trucks. I mean, they had, yeah. They were real, I'm sure they still are. I don't think it's called Amway anymore. I think it's called something America.
I don't know. Tim could tell us. Tim, why don't you let us know?
Maybe I'm wrong, but I thought it was something America. I don't know, but they're really big in Amway. They had, like, people were list. They'd go places and they'd fill up an auditorium and people would listen to them speak. And then they were, people were buying cassette tapes. Shows you how long ago it was. Cassette tapes of some of their stuff.
Are these aunts and uncles or what?
No, it'd be, what would he be? One, two, second, third cousin.
Okay.
Yeah, what it was is they were farmers, and they were going broke. They had some bad years, and the bank was going to take everything, and they were literally going to be homeless. And somebody, they call it showing the plan, or at least they did. That's what they said in Amway, showing the plan. And the thing was is that you were supposed to show the plan like 10 times a week.
Right.
And if you did it 10 times a week, you were supposed to be successful. Well, my cousin and his wife, they like dedicated their lives to showing the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off like a rocket, and they became millionaires through Amway.
Mm.
And so I bought some soap from
them. You did?
Yeah, they came out to my place, and he says, "Oh, you'd be great with this. Everybody knows you. You know, everybody, you know, listens to what you say.
Right.
You should, you know, here, let me show you how this works." You know, and I went to one of their seminars, right?
Uh-huh.
And they were talking, and everybody was listening and taking notes. And, you know, I got up and went out to the lobby and, you know, was eating candy out of the machine. And, you know, and he says, why'd you leave? And I says, I don't want to sell soap. I want to work with horses.
Right.
And he says, well, it's a little more than selling soap.
Uh-huh.
And I says, well, it's like somebody else selling soap for you, right? He says, well, he goes, oh, you're such a jerk. I said, no, that's pretty much what Amway is you want as many people as possible to sell soap for you.
Yeah.
I says, that's what it is. he says, sometimes. So, but yeah, well, good for him.
Yeah. Yep.
You got to be pretty much on the ball to do that kind of stuff.
I think so too. Yep.
Yeah, you can't yeah.
Yeah, Breakfast Ed does that a little bit too.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but that explains a lot.
That's not his job though. He's in insurance or real estate, one of the two.
Oh, really? Well,
Business card Bob, real estate.
Real estate. All right, folks, we need some emails. Oh, wait. Oh, we got some. It says, we're listening. All right, Dave and Barb in Minnesota.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, this goes out to Dave and Barb in Minnesota. Okay. That's a mountain lion. What's that?
Buzz saw.
Yeah, circular saw. And then
another one.
Yeah, this is one of my favorites right here. You should know this one.
Jet break.
Yeah, and the reason we have all these sound effects and I can do all this stuff really quickly and music and everything is because of Dave and Barb. So
right.
I just wanted to, nice for them to, we haven't heard from them in a while.
Uh-oh.
You know we haven't heard from in a very long time? Kitchen Counter People.
Oh, yeah.
It says, hello from Brian and Keisha and Esther in Pennsylvania. I'm Samuel, would want us to say hello as well, but he is preoccupied in dreamland.
Somebody's sleeping.
Okay, then we got another one here. It says, great homework assignment. Got dizzy on the 10th lap around and couldn't get my cowboy boots off. That's Breakfast Ed. Yeah. Well, there you go, folks. See, that's a perfect example of Plan B.
Yeah.
You know? Jeez. Oh, we've got here. Yep, it's still called Amway since 1959, but neither of you should try it. Carry on with what you're doing. Well, why is that? That's from Tim.
Yeah, that's from Tim.
Amway Tim.
Yeah.
AT. That's Amway Tim now.
Yeah, that's cool, Tim. You're no longer Breakfast Tim. You're Amway Tim now.
Amway Tim. AT. That's AT.
Well, I'm going to bring in a couple thoughts here about our subject tonight. You know, Jesus, everywhere he went, it says it was his custom over there in Luke chapter 4 that he took the book of Isaiah and began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me." And then he began to say why that anointing or that grace was on him, and that was to heal the sick, open up blind eyes, cause those that were lame to be made whole, and to heal the brokenhearted, so on and so forth. My point is that Jesus went around telling everybody that there was grace. So he made people aware of grace, but they still couldn't see it. They had to make a demand on it by faith. They had to trust that what Jesus said was so. And there are passages like over in Luke in chapter 6, verse 17 through verse 19, that said that a whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out of him and healed them all. So there's an instance where people made a demand, just like the woman with the issue of blood. They made a demand on that grace. But see, here's the deal, folks. They had to trust that it was there. So my question is, where is the grace of God in your life? And the answer would be, it's everywhere. It's always been everywhere. And it's right before you. And in fact, that's one of the reasons why I believe the scriptures say and are very plain over there in Psalm 46 that says, "Be still and know that I'm God." In other words, take a step back, relax from trying to make everything work. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. The Message Bible said, what I'm trying to get you to do is relax and stop spending so much time in getting something so that you can spend your time in experiencing what God is giving you. And so my point in all this is to show you that on this journey here of getting everybody to begin to no longer bury their grace, but use it and begin to experience God, it's going to take you to believe in it. This is why I say to folks when they're trying to believe God for healing, for this or that, why don't you just take your time as far as your faith is concerned, your convictions are concerned, and spend your time letting God be real. Stop trying to get something and just let God be real because he's right there and he's right there now.
Okay, folks, we're at the time of the show where I have a question for folks.
Okay, good.
Do they want more homework assignments? Do they like them? Do they want more?
Okay.
You know who else? The other question I have for folks is about our topic tonight, how they feel about why are they looking for more grace when they don't use the grace they already have.
Right.
What kind of thoughts, what kind of feelings has tonight's topic sparked in people? You know, what is it making them think about things? Okay. I think it's always a lot easier when you, when I'm working with somebody with their horse. I work with a lot of people that are afraid of horses. Like they've had a very serious accident and they're afraid to get on their own horse. They're afraid to feed their horse because it was a pretty traumatic ordeal, especially with kids and stuff. A lot of kids, once they've been hurt by a horse, they're afraid of it. And I work with people that are afraid of their own dog because, you know, the dog bit them or some mm-hmm. kind of accident.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that it's a lot easier for people to understand information if they can compare it to something that is right in front of their face in their lives. And so if someone has a bad back, a bad shoulder, a lump, a bump, a bruise, they're tired of glasses or contacts or some kind of financial issues or some type of overwhelming attraction or addiction to something, whether it's gambling or pornography or alcohol or, I don't know, chocolate-covered pretzels, whatever the case may be.
We were doing pretty good with those tonight.
They're gone. There's one left. I saved it for you.
Nice.
You know why I saved it for you? Because I know how to share, Mr. Huckaday. I share things.
See, this is your little subliminal messages to everybody to make them think that I don't.
No, see, a subliminal message is when it's sublime, which means it's under the surface. I actually publicly on the internet, and it's almost at least once or twice a month for so many years. There's nothing sublime about me saying that you're stingy and you don't share. You've even admitted it before.
No, that's because you manipulated the way that I was gonna have to admit what I did, but it wasn't like that's what I always do.
Everybody knows.
No.
I'm just a poor.
And that's the whole point.
I'm just a poor, innocent little horseman.
Even Fred.
Trying to scratch out a living in the big, mean world.
Even Fred.
With my
has
little
to,
brown dog.
Listen.
See?
Even Fred has to send from Germany a report that says Jim will get his own. You don't have to worry about it. You'll get yours.
That's because he knows.
Like
he knows.
As if I'm taking everything.
That's my point. Even a guy wandering around the woods in Germany, knows the activities with you and snacks and fine foods and condiments in North America, knows time zones, the international dateline. He knows that poor, poor little BJ Rickard.
Enough said.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't have to defend that.
So, no.
But I am over here in Galatians 6 and verse 7. I want to read something that goes along with what we're talking about. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption." In other words, if you sow to your own ability and to the flesh, then that's where you're going to get your help, in the flesh. "But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." So the individual that does what? That puts their attention on God's grace instead of asking for more. I know I'm filled with grace. Isn't this really what God was training Paul with? I'm going to find that scripture over there in Corinthians so that we have that to read. It'll go right hand in hand with this. But notice it said, when you sow to the Spirit, you reap of the Spirit everlasting life. That sounds like experiences in God's grace. Let me find this other scripture here.
We just got a text message. It says, yes, on the homework. It's like parables and paints pictures in our lives. Thanks. Well, that was kind of nice.
Uh-huh.
See if we got another email here. We have one that says, hello, enjoyed the homework. Even our dog. I'm going to like this one. It says, hello, enjoyed the homework. Even our dog followed me around the chair, enjoyed what I was doing. And I'll give you three guesses who sent this email. That's from that good old boy, outlaw senior citizen biker in Morgan Hill, California. That's Sue's dad sent this. It says, hello, enjoyed the homework. Even our dog followed me around the chair, enjoying what I was doing. Oh, this is from Grandma in Morgan Hill. Grandma sent it, not
okay.
Grandpa. But Grandpa's probably on patrol with his .22 looking for squirrels.
No, isn't it... prairie dogs or gophers?
No, it's squirrels.
Squirrels. Okay.
Isn't it Grandma feeds the squirrels and Grandpa tries to keep
them,
shoot them away?
Yeah.
See, now there's a marriage that works. To me, that sounds like a successful relationship. Grandma's feeding the squirrels and Grandpa's trying to keep them out of the trees in the yard. Well, you know, that's outlaw bikers for you.
Right.
They love their guns, you know. But
I got this this passage over here. I think it's real good if we read this. Time in the show, I think it's real good. Paul has been dealing with all the persecutions that came as a result of the revelation that he had to share Christ with everybody, to let everybody know how real this experience with God was, so real that everybody should be experiencing things from their spirit instead of from their flesh. That's Paul's revelation. And, well, he certainly got all kinds of experiences that were negative from people following him around that would stir up crowds to throw stones at him. He had a list of things that he endured constantly besides all the many times he spent time in jail. But it says right here in verse 7, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me." Now, if you take that the way religion does, you'd be thinking, oh my goodness, the devil's after me. See, just like he was after Paul. No. All the devil could do with Paul is to stir up weak-minded people to try to come and persecute Paul. The devil couldn't do anything personally to Paul.
No.
He stirred up people that were weak-minded, that were religious-minded, that had already bought into the wrong idea of things so that they would come against Paul and make Paul's life difficult. Okay, that's the thorn in the flesh. And if you follow that over to Deuteronomy, you'll find out a thorn in the flesh was always harassment of people.
Oh.
Okay? So we'll go on. It goes on to say, concerning this thing, this harassment that he's taking, "I pleaded with the Lord three times that it would depart from me." And this is God's answer. "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul then said, "Most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities." In other words, my weakness. The weakness Paul recognized here, that when he was weak, God would make him strong. He said here, "I would rather boast in my weakness, that the power of Christ would rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in this weakness, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, and distress for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I am strong."
We got a correction.
Okay.
I was wrong. You know, because Dave and Barb in Minnesota, Barb is the daughter of Grandma and Grandpa in Morgan Hill.
Okay.
And Barb is the sister of Sue in Tracy.
Right.
Well, Dave is married to Barb.
Right.
And Dave sent a message, BJ, it's gophers. So Grandpa hunts gophers.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought.
No, you said prairie dogs. Have you ever seen it? Do you even know what a prairie dog is?
Yeah, I know what a prairie dog is.
What is a prairie dog, Jim?
I know what they are.
Okay, I'm asking you to describe a prairie dog. Do they live? What do they eat? How big are
they? It's a little bit, kind of a little bit bigger than a squirrel. And they usually stand up on their hind legs. And they're a little bit rodent-looking like. They're not like a dog, ruff, 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 you know. So they're a little bit rodent looking, you know. They're okay. Kind of a little a magnified squirrel.
Okay, hold on for a second. All right,
they do bark a little bit though. I guess
we have an 83-pound, 8-year-old registered, certified service dog, female chocolate Labrador retriever in the room.
Yeah, I get
and
that.
And you feel it necessary to go. Roof, roof, roof.
Ranger, can you help me out?
Ranger, what do you say? Bark.
That sounds better.
Now, I'm here to tell you that a prairie dog doesn't sound like this. Ranger?
No, they do have a little bark, though. I do remember that. Have you ever shot one?
Prairie dogs? I've had the opportunity, but I've passed. I've had a rule for many, many, many years. I don't shoot anything unless I know it's going to instantly die and it's not going to suffer. And I don't shoot anything unless it's at risk to livestock or a detriment to the environment. I mean, I've shot a lot of things, but I just don't go out shooting things to shoot. You know, I just never have. I've just, you know, I mean, I don't have anything against hunting and trapping to me, it's not a meal unless there's some type of meat involved. But I just don't have.
You know, they got an arcade game where prairie dogs pop their head up and you got a little mallet and you get to hit them and you get points.
It's called whack-a-mole. It's not a prairie dog. It's a mole.
Is that a mole?
You know,
I thought that's a prairie
dog. How can you? Did you not take simple science and biology? What's wrong with you? You don't know the difference between a squirrel, a gopher, a prairie dog, or a mole. It's called whack-a-mole.
You played it?
Yeah. I've made them for kids before. I've made home versions of whack-a-mole. Yeah, I would give them a wooden spoon out of the kitchen, and I would cut holes in a piece of cardboard, and then I would get underneath the cardboard, and I would wrap my fist up in a bath towel with a rubber band, and then I would put my fist up through the holes and let them try and hit me with the wooden spoon.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. I used to do that for my younger cousins because I was the oldest. And so I had cousins that were like, you know, 10, 15 years younger than me. And so, yeah, I used to, yeah. And then I'd wake them up in the middle of the night when everybody was sleeping at grandma's house. And I would go up on the roof and move the antenna so that we could get professional wrestling out of Omaha, Nebraska. And then I'd make them pizzas. Frozen pizzas at night when everybody was sleeping so that my younger cousins could watch professional wrestling and eat frozen pizzas in the middle of the night.
Huh.
Grandma and Grandpa knew because they were, you know, I mean, Grandpa would put the ladder by the side of the house.
So you could climb up and change it?
And Grandma would stock the freezer in the basement with these little frozen pizzas. I mean, they knew I was doing it, but, you know, my aunt and uncles, they'd say, "What's wrong with the kids? They're really tired and they don't want to eat breakfast."
That's pretty funny.
All right. You ready to say something to music?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's find some music.
Well, do you think that as you're playing that, do you think that we accomplished some of our goal here in helping people to recognize that praying for more grace, trying to have more when you're not necessarily using possibly any at all?
I don't know. We got a text that says the visuals are very helpful. Enjoying the show. This is Dorothea from New Jersey.
Good.
You know, seriously, all we know is what people tell us. If people don't tell us anything, for all we know, we're just talking to ourselves on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no rating system. We don't live in the same town, literally the same state with these people. I mean, all we can do is be as spot on to grace as we can, be as efficient as we can with the information, be absolute. Don't worry about hurting someone's feelings as long as what we're saying is absolute and it's the truth and can be backed up with Scripture.
Okay.
Other than that, I don't know.
Okay.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, who knows?
Right. Okay.
I started it over.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it. All right, for everyone listening tonight, why don't you just take a moment to close your eyes and bow your heads for a second. And just let this be a prayer for your own heart. That Father, we just thank you for your grace. And we say, in the next 24 hours, we're wanting to experience you in ways that we haven't. We're wanting to recognize you in places that we haven't. So open up our eyes, open up our minds and our hearts, so we can experience your grace. Experience your presence. Know that you're with us all day long. In every situation we involve ourselves, to know that you're there to effect a change and to enhance our lives and bring increase. Increase on our job, increase in our home, increase in our family, increase in our physical bodies, in every single way that we'll be enhanced in the next 24 hours. And we'll look back and we'll see that you've actually been with us, that we can actually pinpoint where you were and how you helped us. And we'll trust you for this. We'll thank you ahead of time. And we just say, grace, have fun with us, because we're planning on having fun with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, man, didn't this show go just fly by?
It did. It did tonight.
It always does. You know, and what's interesting about it is that we, if people knew, I mean, honestly, if they really knew that it's like 1 or 2 minutes before the show starts, and I'm asking you, do you have any idea what we're going to talk about tonight?
Right.
I mean, I think that, I think it's a shame that the most astonishing things about this show are the behind the scene things that shows that, that Grace is all over this.
Right. Helping.
I mean, you know, because we're not really coming up with a lot of stuff here.
Right.
You know, that's pretty evident.
Yeah.
But, okay. So, are you having something at your house tomorrow night?
No, we're not doing it at the house.
Okay.
And so it'll be on the 5th. The 5th of December, we'll be back in the library. And we'll have 3 weeks in the library before the library's closed for the Christmas time.
They close it for Christmas?
Well, during the holiday, they close it at 6 o'clock.
Oh.
We start at 7, so that's why we're kind of out.
Okay.
Same thing for Thanksgiving.
Folks, I'll be going to the post office on Tuesday before the show starts. That'll be the 25th of November. So you got 7 days to throw something in the mail. And if you do send something, send an email to the show. Give us a heads up. Take care of yourself and your pets. And thanks for listening and participating in the homework assignments.
Really good. Thanks, everybody. Glad you've been with us.
And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards. How does she always know? But the girl knows. There you go. I don't know what else to say, because Ranger says it all.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.